Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, and review books in this unique romance subgenre and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you writing advice from experienced Christian romance writers. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. All right, guys, so excited to be back with you here on Friday. And just wanted to make sure everyone was aware that we have another incredible lineup for our final Coffee and Books event of the year on Saturday, December 7th from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join authors Karen Whitmire, Jody Basie, and Abby Downey for an hour of book talk. Visit literaryescape.com/events to sign up for this free event today. And authors, we have Kylie Woodley joining us tomorrow, Saturday 9th, from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to talk about book proposals. Getting your creative works in front of professionals in the Christian book market can be challenging. You need to showcase your best writing and understand what industry professionals are looking for. This class teaches you to polish a query letter, proposal, and writing sample. Additionally, we will preview resources for improving writing and where to find agents and editors. Finally, this class provides 3 templates to get you started. Visit literaryescape.com/events to sign up for this training today. And I am excited to bring author Abby Downey back on the podcast. She is the author of the Adventurous Hearts series featuring women who make a splash in sports and exploring in the early 1900s. If you enjoy a sweet romance with spunky characters, then be sure to check out her books. I also want to mention that Abby and I will be hosting a couple of adventurous reader events in 2025, so stay tuned for those announcements. Now let's hop into today's author interview with Abby Downey. Welcome back, everyone, to another Friday episode here on the Literary Escape Podcast. And this Friday, I am so excited to have author Abby Downey with us to talk about her newest release, An Unexpected Catch, which I accidentally said in the last Friday's newsletter that it was already released, but it doesn't release until November 19th. But you can pre-order now. So welcome, Abby.
Hi, it's so good to be here with you again.
I think this is probably your third time on the show with us. Yeah. And I always like to highlight to everyone that Abby was the very first author on our podcast. So if you were to go back to those very first episodes, you will catch Abby, who was writing under the pen name Molly Campbell at the time.
Yep.
For some of her love-inspired books. But today we're going to talk about her newest book, An Unexpected Catch, which I absolutely loved. So Abby, share a little bit, you know, about the story and some the inspiration behind it.
Okay. Well, An Unexpected Catch is set in 1907, and it tells the story of Bea Curran, who's a female umpire in the Chicago City League, which is a semi-professional league. Baseball league, and Emmett Worland, who's a pitcher, and he is hiding a potentially career-ending secret. Neither one of them is looking for love. In fact, they might be actively avoiding it, but when they start working together to help Bea's women's college baseball team, they unexpectedly fall for each other. And the inspiration behind it is the true real-life woman, Amanda Clement, who was a semi-professional baseball umpire in the early 1900s at just 16 years old. She was amazing.
Oh, and I know your series, so far you've got 2 books in the series and a third will be coming out next year, but it features women first entering into different sports, right?
Yes.
So your first one was your race car driver. which if you haven't read that, remind me of the title of that one again.
Sorry. I lost you for a second. Can you repeat
that? Oh, it's okay. Sorry. So what's the title of book one? Uncertain Road, right?
An Uncertain Road. Yep.
Yes. Okay. And that one features a race car driver. And then this one, Unexpected Catch, is baseball. And yes. I loved your little note at the beginning that your son was your, what do you want to call it? Your baseball expert. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Sure. So he's 12 years old, and like a lot of 12-year-old boys, he loves sports. Baseball is his favorite, but he's played some baseball. He likes to watch baseball, but he is obsessed with baseball statistics and has an incredibly vast amount of baseball knowledge in his head that he just knows. He can just pull out things that I don't know how you could remember that. So he was so fun. It was really fun to be able to just turn to him and ask a question, and he knew the answer. I didn't even have to look it up.
Oh, that's so neat. I loved it. I loved that little note that you put in there to recognize his expertise. And yes. I would say, okay, how did you come up with Emmett? I have to say, I really loved Emmett. I loved B too. They're like so good for each other, right? Yeah. Of course, we wrote him that way, or you wrote him that way. But can you just share a little bit on Emmett then?
Yeah, I love Emmett. He just reminded me of just a pitcher. Like, these guys go out and they're generally so confident and so sure of themselves and so competent on the field. And they know what they're doing and they do their jobs really well. And a lot of times they're kind of carrying their team. Without a good pitcher, your team's not getting anywhere. So sometimes they can maybe be a little cocky. But a lot of times when you see a man like that, there's hidden depth, you know? I wanted to because we get to see inside Emmett's head some, I just wanted to explore the depths of a man who is acting like he's supposed to and has been involved in this really masculine, really competitive industry. But he's also a really sweet, fun guy inside. Mm-hmm. So I liked writing that kind of character. And some of my heroes most of them are pretty serious and like overprotective and maybe a little quieter, things like that. So I enjoyed writing one who's a little more outgoing, and just a little more fun and lighthearted.
Yes, I would say, yeah, he probably is your most outgoing hero that I've read of yours, which I loved, but he also is very misunderstood, unfortunately, because kind of like what you're talking about, just because of the role that he's in, as far as being the leader, everyone's looking to him, but everyone's also watching every move, and some moves are misconstrued, I guess you could say.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. He's had to deal with his share of kind of what we would see in the media today of, you know, a situation gets misread and everybody knows about it, but they don't know what really happened or what the person's intentions really were. And that can affect how people see someone forever. And he's kind of dealing with the consequences of a situation that was kind of out of his control, but it reflected poorly on him. And now that's all anybody sees when they look at him, if they don't know who he is already.
Yes. And I love his watching him work through that as well. But I will want to circle back. He's still very protective. I love those scenes where, especially of B on the field and knowing when he needs to step in and tell the guys to back off and knowing when she's got this, she can handle it. I love that about him. He's super sweet. And so then there's his grandmother. Share a little bit about that whole, her and then their relationship.
Okay. I love that you asked that because my early readers, she is everybody's favorite character and I didn't expect that. So Emmett's grandmother is one of the wealthiest socialites in Chicago. She's obviously older. She's his grandmother, but she's she kind of runs Chicago society a bit, and it's been a bit, so I'm trying to remember all the details. But Emmett's mother had passed away, I think, when he was born, and his father had left before that. So he was left in his grandmother's care, but she was busy doing her own grieving. She'd lost her only daughter, and her husband had passed not long before that, or maybe a little after. But when he was young, she was very distant. So their relationship at the start of the book is not great. He was essentially raised by staff, and he just didn't have a lot of a relationship with her, other than to feel like she judged him all the time. And she had expectations that he could never live up to. So when it starts, we kind of see that tension between them. But it was very fun to write her change of heart, where, you know, you expect your hero and heroine to have changes and an arc that they go through. It's fun to write a side character with a pretty significant arc as well. And she goes through some changes and realizes that she should have done some things differently and tries to make up for it. And she just, it turns out to be a really fun story.
It is. And it plays, it has a huge impact on our main characters too. Yeah. Like, her change has a huge impact on them as well. And I loved watching that relationship turn for the better. But as we mentioned earlier, Emmett's, that one mishap, right, that the media took, it creates even more tension between the two of them, just because of her expectations and then what he wants. And you wrote it very well. Very good. Well. And then there's B's friend, Miss King.
Yes.
Miss King. She's a friend and a mentor, really. Mm-hmm. Because she's kind of training B up to take over for her at the university. So can you just share a little bit on her?
Sure. When I was researching for the book, I found an entire, like a PDF book, like of the whole history of the sports education department at, I think it might've been a college in Nebraska or something. And it covered that whole time period. They were starting up their sports programs in that same time period. And they had a women's physical education department, which is what I was trying to learn about and see how it would run, who would be leading it, what kind of classes they would have, all those things. So I was reading it, and there were women who were leading that program from the very beginning of it. So I just kind of took that inspiration and created a woman that I thought might have filled that kind of role at that time frame, but she would have been older than B because she started it. Like, she was there from the beginning, and B is coming in for the next phase. But I think it was Marjorie was her first name.
Yes.
Marjorie King. She was the one that kind of came in first and started it at that particular college that I made up. So that was my inspiration for her. And I just kind of filled in the kind of woman that I thought might have been able to do that in like the 1880s and 90s.
Yeah. I loved that, in the way that her and Emmett's grandmother kind of tag team, know, to help B and then help Emmett, and then of course get them together. Is it Mr. Kendall? Is that the bad guy's name?
Yes,
I say bad Aaron. Guy. It's
antagonist. Yeah.
Yes.
Aaron Kendall. Yeah.
Okay. I really did not like him. So well written, Abby. Well written. I mean, when he walks into that meeting and interrupts her, I'm like, oh, he is going to ruin it for her. Just ruin it. You just knew it was coming, and I was already like, get out of there, Kindle. But anyway, I won't say any more than that. But it's good. He was well written. He definitely added to the story as far as like, oh, because he holds a lot of power. And so he could have had a really bad impact on her career.
Yeah,
for sure.
And that's good to hear because villains are hard to write. I try not to go too like a caricature of a bad guy, you know, and make it too dramatic and crazy. But you want to not like them, at least for most of the story. Now, some of them get some redemption. At the end of my stories, I do redeem my villains occasionally, but some of them, perhaps like this one, don't see the error of their ways just yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say, so what was the most unique thing you came across in your research for this book?
It's a question I get, and I kind of forgot to write down an answer for it.
That's okay. While you think about this, I'm going to share this. Oh, you've got it?
Go ahead. Okay.
I was just going to share with listeners that you do this really fun thing in your newsletter where you put in a picture of an artifact from that time era that would be connected to your story, and you say, tell me what it is, and the first person to get it right gets a prize. You've got to sign up for her newsletter. It is a blast to play the game. I think I won once.
Yeah,
for this book, actually.
Yes, it was this one. Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. What your most unique thing?
That was one of the interesting things that I found. You know, some of the old baseball equipment. I mean, a lot of it is exactly what we expect now, but some of it was quite a bit different. So it is, that was fun to see that one. Some of the most interesting research that I did was actually related to Emmett's, his big secret, which is, a physical, the results of an injury basically that, are affecting him now. And now we know that as post-concussion syndrome, but at the time they didn't have a term for that. They knew what a concussion was, but they didn't actually treat them. So there were a significant number of baseball players early on who had head injuries from getting hit by a ball or a bat or whatever, and just got back up and started playing again. And there were an unfortunate handful of them who it got bad enough that their long-term, those symptoms can turn into something that looks like insanity. They would start making threats against their family or doing really wild, erratic things or huge mood swings, and they'd be institutionalized in an asylum instead of given any kind of treatment. So that was some of, it was hard to read it, but it was fascinating to see all these cases and like nobody caught this, that this is a problem, you know. So
go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Oh, I was just gonna say, is I've always found that interesting when I read the historical books, historical romance books, is that when the author brings in that medical side, because I read one where the main girl was having seizures.
Oh, yeah.
But no one knew back, this was like 1800s. So where she said it, nobody knew what that was. And they did throw her in an asylum for a long time and she escaped. And then she met her hero, who happened to be a doctor, who helped her through it. And he was basically learning more about it, you know, through her experiences and through some medical stuff. But it is very interesting, like when we don't, but it's kind of human nature, I think, when we don't know, we don't understand, we tend to say, just push it away, or, you know, it's a little scary. I always think 100 years from now, they're going to look at how we treated medical things and go, they were crazy.
They probably will. I'm sure there's plenty more advancements out there that we would never dream of. So, there might be things that they're going, why did they do this?
Oh, yes, definitely. Is there any other fun facts or just anything that you'd like to share about the book?
Let me think what there is.
I do know this. We're going to feature this entire series next year on the podcast after book three comes out. I know we're still launching book two right now because it's in everybody can pre-order it. So if you haven't, I'll have a link in the show notes so you can get your copy, which I highly recommend, by the way. So it's just me that got to read this one so far, but I have a feeling when we get to this book next year, when we get to all three of them, that we're going to get three lassos out of it. So and if you listen to our podcast, then you know that that's our overall rating. So I gave it three lassos. I'm pretty sure the ladies will too. And so, all right. So sorry, I interrupted you again. Go ahead.
That's okay. I was trying to think on that one. Just a lot of the baseball history is so fun. And even if you're not into baseball necessarily or sports, I tried to write it because I'm kind of a casual fan. You know, my son is the obsessed one. I'm more of a casual fan. I know enough. I have an idea what baseball does, you know. And from watching him play, I know some of the terminology. But I tried not to be overwhelming or go too deep with it. Because overall, like, above all of that, it is still a romance. And it is still a fiction story. And I wanted that to really capture you and for the baseball to just be fun, additional scene setting. So don't be turned off if baseball is not your thing. My early readers have told me it's not overwhelming and that even if they're not sports people, they enjoyed it still. So, but if you are sports fans, Chicago in 1907 is a big deal and super fun. And it might feature the big news that year, which was the Chicago Cubs winning their first World Series ever. So they might make their appearance too, maybe twice. I think they might be in there twice because that's our team.
Yeah, I think they are in there twice. And I would agree. I don't think you overwhelmed the story at all with the baseball. I like sports, but baseball is not one that I'm really into as much. I like more fast pace. I don't.
Yeah, it is slow. Yeah.
So, and I grew up playing basketball, watching basketball and watching football with my dad. So that's kind of where my heart is. But anyways, you did a great job. Phenomenal. The romance definitely sticks out.
Good.
Awesome. I'm trying to think if there was, I know what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
Do you know what book three will be about? And if you can share it.
Yeah,
which book sport, maybe?
Book three is done and turned into my publisher at this moment, waiting for edits on that. So book three breaks out a little bit from the sports theme and is actually about a woman who starts an explorers club. So there's a big club based in New York City called the Explorers Club. And they finance and support and arrange, expeditions to do all kinds of things. And they send flags with each expedition that they are a part of. So they've had flags go to the moon, to the Titanic, to Antarctica, the North Pole, all of the big expeditions. However, the Explorers Club did not allow women to enter to be in the membership until 1983, I think it was. It was either 81 or 83, because I was born in 82. And I'm like, are you kidding me? No woman before I was born could have been in it. And women were doing amazing things and were part of some of those same expeditions. They just couldn't be members. So I was inspired to write. And some of them started their own clubs and their own groups to kind of support their expeditions they were going on. So I was inspired to write that about a young woman who lost her explorer father. He was on an expedition and there was an accident and he died. And she wants to follow in his footsteps, but is struggling with just paralyzing fear after that loss. And it's a best friends to more story. So her best friend, who would never have ever dreamed of being an adventurer in all of his life, gets roped into going on her first expedition with her. So
Interesting. And when is that one supposed to be out?
That's in July next year.
July. Okay.
Yep.
All right. That is so exciting. Abby, I love chit-chatting with you about your books again. I did email everyone last Friday and said, it's out, but it's not out till the 19th. So my apologies there. I just got so excited after reading it. I was just ready to share it with everybody. It's an excellent, excellent book. Again, I'll have a link in the show notes so you guys can get your pre-order your copy. And then I'll also put a link to Abby's newsletter because, again, she does amazing fun games and trivia in there. You're going to want to get in on that. Anything else you want to share, Abby?
I appreciate you inviting me, and I always have a great time talking with you, and I hope your readers will pick up the book and enjoy it. So thanks for featuring it.
Of course, of course. And yes, if you're listening, go get your copy. Like I said, we're giving it 3 lassos, and we'll be featuring that again probably in August. If it comes out in July, I believe that we have slated that your series to come out in August next year. So,
okay.
Very exciting. But thank you for coming back on, Abby.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would like to invite you to connect with us further and get a free read. Right now, if you sign up for our newsletter, you will get the first 9 chapters of my book, Unwavering Faith. Plus, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.